For today's public reading, I'm going to be reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 3, just the first six verses. Luke's Gospel, chapter 3. Again, you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, four autobiographies of the life of Christ written by four individual men looking from four different vantage points, but beaming their attention on one person, the person of Christ. Chapter 3. Now, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch, meaning governor, of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iconium in the region of Trachonitis, and Licinius, the tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests, the word of God came unto John, this is John the Baptist, the son of Zacharias in the wilderness. And he came into all the country around Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, quote, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough way shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Please be seated, but remain open, please. Now, in the last hour, I try to hopefully convince you. Only God can make the final convincing. I'm just simply the messenger. I try to convey to you the Bible is the Word of God. Now, did men write it? Yes. And we're going to go further into that. I'm not going to apologize. Neither am I going to, you know, skirt that. What did I teach you before? Let's see here. Okay? The different human authors, the human penmen. Some were kings, some were shepherds, some were priests. A couple were fishermen. They had their own fishing business there in the Lake of Galilee. One was a doctor. Moses was a lawgiver. Ezra was a scribe. Nehemiah, he was a governor. And then the two half-brothers of Jesus, who, before the resurrection, Jesus had four half-brothers and two half-sisters at least. They all thought that their brother was crazy. He's out to lunch claiming he's God. After the resurrection, when Jesus appears to his siblings, they began to realize, oh my word, you are real. You are truly God in the flesh. They became believers, and James and Jude, half-brothers of Jesus, each wrote a separate letter in the New Testament. Here's the book of Jude, and here's the book of James. These two men were half-brothers of Jesus. Okay? And Joshua, he was a general. He led the armies of Israel into the promised land. So it's composed by some 40 authors over a period of 1,500 years on three continents, Europe, Africa, and Asia. And yet when you put all these 66 books together, it forms one complete library. These books do not contradict each other. There's no conflict between these books. They have the same message, they sing the same tune, they're on the same sheet of music. The central figure of all 66 books in the very middle is the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of these books, Old the New Testament, speak and point back to Him. But there's something else about the Bible, why I know that it is true. Did you catch the first two verses? Stop and think. Again, you are smart individuals, and you got good heads on your shoulders. Let's see how smart you are. Tiberius Caesar. He was the nephew of Julius Caesar. He's now the second emperor of Rome. And guess what? Archaeology has proven that there was a real man named Tiberius Caesar, who was Caesar, and ran the Roman Empire for several years. Pontius Pilate. Do you know that some people believe that Pontius Pilate was not real? And wonder of wonders, guess what's happened recently in the world of archaeology? On one of these islands out here, they found a stone slab under the ground, and they're excavating, doing an archaeological dig. and Pontius Pilate's name was chiseled on the stone. Not recently, but you can tell it was chiseled moons ago and well-worn, but still readable. Herod, guess what? The Roman historians of the first century, Suetonius and Tacitus, two Roman historians contemporaneous to this time frame, mention King Herod. Okay? Philip was Herod's brother. You know what Herod did to his brother Philip? He didn't kill Philip. He simply stole Philip's wife while Philip was still pumping blood. And it was John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, who told Herod, this Herod, it's unlawful for you to have your brother's wife while he's still alive. Guess what the end result was? John lost his head for telling the king, you're living in adultery. You see verse 2, Annas and Caiaphas? You know who those two bird dogs were? They were the two head priests living in the days of Jesus. And when Jesus was put on trial, he stood in front of these two men. And guess what we found about 5-8 years ago? Guess what we found in Jerusalem? We found a bone box in Ashuary. After a person was buried, after a certain amount of time, when they knew the flesh was gone and all that was bones, they would redig up the grave and then put all the bones neatly in an ivory bone box called an ossuary. And then it was placed in like a mausoleum. They found a bone box, and guess what was chiseled on the side of the bone box? Caiaphas, high priest. Now, why am I saying that? I'm saying that to show you, whenever the Bible speaks, whenever this book speaks about history, it's right on target. When the Bible talks about anything scientific, it's right on target. For instance, the Bible talks about God sitting on the circle of the earth. Isn't a circle round, a globe? World's not flat? The Bible also says in Leviticus 17, the life of the body is in the blood. What did people do years ago when they thought somebody was sick? They used to slice them and bleed them. Their life was going into a bucket. And then a few days later, they would die, or they would die of infection. The Bible says the life of the body is in the blood. That was thousands of years before they discovered that under a microscope. The Bible says, can you number the stars? Do you know that there was a Greek or an Egyptian astronomer who took it upon himself to count the number of stars from his vantage point and came up with a number? And then they took the Hubble telescope and shot it out there in space, and they see galaxy upon galaxy upon galaxy. They have to revise the numbers. Even the Bible says the stars are innumerable. Who told them that before a telescope was even invented? Now, in our reading, look at verse 3. You have John the Baptist comes on the scene first. Jesus and John were cousins because Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, they were cousins. So there was a time when the little baby Jesus and the little baby John, who was simply just 6 months apart as far as age, would be playing in the same sandbox, playing hopscotch, playing hide and seek, skipping rocks on the Lake of Galilee, if you will. They would play together, run around together, play hide and seek together, or play whatever games they had back in the first century. And yet the prophet Isaiah said in verse 4, as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. What am I getting at? Here's the book of Isaiah. Okay? From Isaiah to the birth of Jesus is 700 years, 7 centuries of time. And this man prophesied that there would be a forerunner to the Messiah. And when he would come, he would proclaim a message from the desert. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. And when Jesus, his cousin, comes to be baptized, which we will eventually read, John the Baptist points to his cousin who is coming into the Jordan to be baptized by John. And John says to everybody who's standing, behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. 700 years. This book in the Old Testament, there are prophecies that are hundreds, if not thousands of years old, talking about the life of Jesus, predicting the exact city he would be born, predicting how much money he would be betrayed, predicting that one within his group would be the betrayer, the fact that he would be born of the tribe of Judah. Out of 12 tribes, one prophet pinpoints Judah. God tells him, Judah, that will become my lawgiver. And the fact that when Jesus would die, he would enter the city of Jerusalem on a donkey, which he does. And that was prophesied by Zechariah 400 years before Jesus was even conceived in the womb of Mary. Why do I believe my Bible? Because whenever the Bible speaks on truth, it's right on target. When the Bible talks about history, all these people that I just got done reading to you, we know that they existed in history. And then notice, now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, we know exactly what year that was, 15 years into his reign, and therefore we can pinpoint the ministry of Jesus between 27 to 30 AD. We can pinpoint. And lo and behold, during that time, in this part of the world, there was a man walking around claiming to be God. Why do I trust this book? Because when it speaks truth and not lies. Well, may God bless His word. Let me pray and then we'll finalize our second hour. Gracious Heavenly Father,